Hey, good afternoon, Army of Angels. Today I have the pleasure to visit with Miss Naisa Scroggin, who's the client manager at And Then There Were None, the Pro-Life Outreach. We're going to talk about what that means, who that is. Some of you already know, I know. Some of you pro-life warriors out there already know all about Abby and her great organization. But we're going to learn a little bit more about Naisa, a wife, a mom, a certified phlebotomist. I just like to say that word. And has a mental health coaching certification. We're going to talk a little bit more about that too. But anyway, Naisa, welcome to the Hometown Hero.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you for having me. What an honor this is. And yeah, so a little bit of myself. Yeah. I am originally from Wisconsin, but I've been here for 10 years and loving it. I'm here with my husband and three girls who are 18, 16, and 9, who's also going on 16. If you know, you know, right? My dad used to tell me, this is my daughter, Naisa. She's 8, going on 20, right? Yeah. So it's true.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And so just a little bit of my upbringing. It wasn't all, you know, sunshine and roses. It was very toxic. I was baptized Catholic as an infant, but we were the family that weren't brought up in the faith. Mm-hmm. We were the family that went once a year, Christmas, Easter. Mm-hmm. We were that family. And if you've ever been to Milwaukee, you would know that Milwaukee is really known for their beer. And so I was really exposed to a lot of alcohol, just a lot of toxic stuff. There was abuse. And so that is really going to set me up for the choices I'm going to make in the future. And a few of those choices, it led me into very toxic relationships, very abusive. It led me into the adult entertainment industry, which ultimately led me into having my first abortion. Mm. You know, that was really tough, really tough stuff. And the reason for that abortion, I was with my older girl's dad, and I was fleeing from an abusive situation. Yeah. And so he used our children against me. Mm-hmm. And so it became this whole battle, custody battle, right? I moved to Colorado, got an attorney, and it took a while, but I fought to get my girls back. Mm-hmm. During that time, I got pregnant. And I freaked out, right? Yeah. Fear set in. I'm like, how am I going to have another baby if I don't even have my other two.
Right.
So that fear just really set in. And it kind of goes without saying in the adult entertainment industry that family life and that it just doesn't mix.
Right.
So it's not like anyone told me, go have an abortion, right? It was really implied. And then on top of that, the fear, the alcohol, like all of that just combined, right? Mm-hmm. And so so I ultimately, you know, got custody of my girls. And during that time, and this was in 2011. Mm-hmm. And so during that time, I would find, or let me back up. I had met someone in the club, and he became my regular. That's what we call them.
Yeah.
And ultimately, this regular fell in love with me. Mm. And I wasn't about to let love and my hustle, you know, get in the way. They just don't mix, right? I had these two kids. Mm-hmm. I, you know, got to provide for them. And you have to understand at that time, my worth was just so, my self-esteem. All I felt like was I can only make money by, you know, selling myself. Because ultimately, that's what you're doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was a very hard, dark place, no pun intended, right?
Right?
And one night there was a man sitting in the club and I walked up to him. It was interesting. I got off the stage and I went an opposite direction, but there was this hard pull to my right to this man.
Mm-hmm.
And So I just went towards him, and I immediately saw a cross that he was wearing. I would later find out it is a Crusader's cross.
Mm-hmm.
And never practicing the faith, none of that, I immediately asked him, "Hey, are you Catholic?"
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Yes, but I'm not practicing. How about you?" And I said, "Well, I am Catholic, but I'm not practicing as well." And so we hit it off, right? And, you know, I finally surrendered, and I started dating him. And months go by, and he finally tells me that he was a priest.
Wow.
Yeah. So you've got stripper meets priest. I know, it's crazy. Yeah. Ex-priest. And I'll tell you just a little bit about that. He was part of the Legionaries of Christ.
Okay.
The founder was in Mexico. He passed on, right? Many of you may know this. The scandal broke out, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. He felt really, really betrayed. He had dedicated his entire life to the priesthood, only to find out, right, he was betrayed. And many, many other men, too. And so he thought, what is the worst thing I can do? So he rebelled. He left the church, stopped practicing for mm-hmm. a little bit. And, you know, that's what ultimately led him into my establishment. Mm-hmm. So, we were dating, and we got pregnant. Mm-hmm. We got pregnant, and this time abortion was not on my mind. At this point, I had my girls. I had a townhome. Everything was going great. And he actually moved to Texas because he got a job here. I was still in Colorado. So now we're in 2013. So he comes back to Texas, have the baby, and we all actually move together to Texas after our daughter is born.
Okay.
So, and then fast forward to 2014, we actually get married at the Justice of the Peace. So I actually end up marrying my customer that I, you know, once hung out with at the club. So it's really a cool story. It's really interesting how God really put us together. Mm-hmm. We brought each other back to our faith, right? But there was something still missing after we got married, you know, in the court. Something was just missing. He knew what it was, right? I didn't. I'm still learning the Catholic faith, right? As a former priest, he knows this isn't right.
Yeah.
And so fast forward to 2017, we get married in the church. We get our marriage convalidated. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, during that time between 2014 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
We fell into really hard times. And so I went back to the club one last time here in Austin. Mm. And because again, that desperate mindset kicked in, like we actually did lose our car. We lost our car on my daughter's second birthday.
Mm.
So I had to put on a happy face, you know, our car just got, you know, towed away and had to put on that happy face. But deep down we were really struggling and he didn't like it. And we were just really struggling at that time. And I just, you know, we were like, we have to. And at the time, we were going to St. Louis in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sat Father James Misko down, and we took him out, and we said, "This is it. This is our situation. We want to get our marriage convalidated. I still need to get confirmed. The girls need to come into the church," and all that good stuff, right? And so we did that. We got married in the church on May 13th, which is the 100th anniversary of Our Lady Fatima on May 13th, 2017.
Wow.
And he really wanted that. I didn't realize. I didn't make that connection, right? My husband, Chris, he was like, "Yeah, let's do that. May 13th. That's our, you know," I was like, "Yes, let's do it." So that's just a little background of myself and, you know, where I'm at. I do have that experience with abortion.
Yeah.
So...
is that what got you connected then to, and then there were none?
No. I love this question because most people, their answer is they knew Abby Johnson, right? And in my situation, it was not that. So going back to my husband, he had worked for a couple of pro-life organizations.
Okay.
with those two, Abby had spoken at a couple of their galas.
Okay.
And so my husband knew Abby first. I actually knew Doug first. So it's really interesting. And one year, I think it was 2020, there was a women's luncheon. Robia Scott was there. Now, if you don't know who she is, she is the one who played Abby's boss in the movie Unplanned. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's an amazing movie. Whether you're pro-choice, pro-life, go see it. Yep. It's not biased at all. It's very informative. Yep. We've had a lot of pro-choice people watch that movie and change their minds.
It's an incredible movie.
It is an incredible movie. Absolutely. In fact, it changed my sister's heart.
Wonderful.
So, going back to the luncheon, I saw Doug there. And we had already been friends on Facebook. We have a lot of mutual pro-life friends, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he came up to me. We talked for a little bit, but I felt really compelled to share my story. And this was in the month of May. So the month of May is the month that I had my abortion. So the month of May, and actually studies show that when women have an abortion, they tend to get very emotional on two dates, the day that they would have been born and the day that they had the abortion. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact date, but I do know the month, and that is the month of May. And interestingly enough, I wasn't even supposed to be at this luncheon. It was totally providential. Mm-hmm. I was invited because there was another person who decided not to show up, so I got invited.
Okay.
Yeah, so Doug, we talk for a little bit. I share my story, and we find out we live close to one another. Mm-hmm. So he invited our family over to their house for dinner, and I'm face-to-face with Abby and her family, and before I know it, we're sharing our story just like I am with you. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple of months after that, I get a message from Abby on Facebook asking if I'd like to work for Another or None.
Wow.
I definitely prayed on it, but internally, you know, I was excited. I was excited. I was like, this is amazing. And interestingly enough, I was looking for a job at that time, and specifically a remote job because I was a stay-at-home mom and I really wanted to be with them, and we were homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And so I prayed for a couple of days just to make sure if this is really God's calling, like, if you know, and so went on a staff retreat. I got to know some of the staff members, and they're just amazing. That's how I got connected with And Then There Were None.
Okay.
But I knew about And Then There Were None when I read Abby's book.
Okay. When did you read Abby's book?
2016. And it's so interesting. Sometimes I will go back to that younger self in 2016, mm-hmm. picturing myself reading that book, not knowing what God is going to put in front of me years down the road. It's so interesting. I don't know if that makes sense, but,
no, it does, but
just putting myself back there, I'm like, wow, that girl is going to be working for the very woman that you're reading about.
What compelled you to read the book?
So I think just having my own experience. Yeah, mm-hmm. that really, 2016 was also the year I really started my healing.
Yeah.
And I had a friend, I don't know if you've heard of Heroic Media.
Yes.
We have, so my husband, that's one of the organizations my husband used to work for. And Brett Atterbury, mm-hmm. He is one of our great friends. He was in our wedding. Yep. And he shared his abortion story with me in 2016.
Wow.
That's the year where everything really exploded for me in regards to healing and starting to share my story. And he had shared his, and he had mentioned Rachel's Vineyard Retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to go.
Yeah.
I need to do this. Yeah. His story is what really inspired me to open up, share mine, get the healing. And
to recognize that there was a path to healing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a journey, right? It's not like I went in there and went to confession and, oh, I'm healed now. Yeah. No, it is a journey. Yeah. I have a client who says it's a journey, not a destination.
Absolutely.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the organization itself. And Then There Were None. A lot of us have heard somebody talk about it. We've heard Abby talk about it. We've seen it on social media or whatever. What does the organization actually do?
Yeah, so great question. If I can give you a little backstory on, you know, about Andenne Renan. So as most of us know, Andenne Renan is founded by Abby Johnson herself, and it is a nonprofit organization. Basically, you know, to help abortion clinic workers leave the abortion industry. Mm-hmm. Abby had worked, she was a director for the Planned Parenthood, and she became Employee of the Year in 2008. And, you know, one day she was asked, you know, called back to help with an ultrasound guided abortion on a 13-week-old baby. And so she watched this baby fight for its life. Yeah. And it immediately changed her.
That's the toughest part of the whole movie.
Yeah. And if you, I won't spoil it for those who have not seen the movie, but just go see it. But she immediately knew she was on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. She knew, okay, I am not helping these women. I believe it was 2 weeks after that she resigned. Yeah, she quit Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. She knew that she had to help a lot of these women out of the abortion industry. Mm-hmm. And so she prayed about it. She prayed, you know, Lord, help me find an organization that can help these women. There are none.
No
organizations. She kept praying and praying, and finally, she realized God was calling her to start that ministry. Mm-hmm. You start that organization, mm-hmm. right? It's you. And so she made calls and had the connections, and here we are. And that was in 2011, and here we are now. And we've helped over 625 workers, including also in the District of Columbia. So 42 states and the District of Columbia. Wow. Wow. We've had a few doctors come in to our ministry.
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's amazing. Yeah.
We, I had the pleasure a few weeks ago to interview Myra Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And she was up in Waco with Anya and the team up there mm-hmm. that run the Waco 40 Days for Life. And she's, her story is also just almost as compelling as Abby's. But I've always been struck by the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton aspect of, you know, the organization, you know, looking around, there's got to be somebody that's doing this, and you need to do it. The Lord's saying to Abby, you need to do this.
You know, do it.
Why don't you do it? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So what exactly then does the client manager do? Let's talk about your role.
That's right. So my role with the organization is client manager, or sometimes we're called case managers because it is case by case. And what that means is we literally work one-on-one with clients, with people that come through. And what that looks like, usually they don't talk to us first. They go through the hotline and they speak with an intake manager. So they have to go through the intake manager first and then we're set up with a client.
Okay.
Or we're set up with a client. The client managers are. And we really meet them where they're at.
Yep.
We want them to feel loved. We want them to, you know, find that hope, that healing, that inner freedom.
Yeah.
And we don't want them going back to the industry. Yeah. So one of our main goals is to get them a job.
Yep.
We have an amazing resume writer who has volunteered his time and talent to help our clients with their resumes, to update them. And we have therapists on staff, licensed therapists on staff. So if they need healing, we find that a lot of our clients need healing because working in the abortion industry, it is very, very traumatic, very traumatic. So it's such a blessing to be able to have that. And it's, and all of what we have, our services are at no cost at all.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God, to our donors.
Amen.
Yes, it's amazing. And
so you really have to spend, you have to rely a little bit on this mental health background and education that you've got. How was that? How did that come about, and how has that helped you?
So my mental health?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
the coaching certification.
Yeah, that actually helps us realize, we can recognize when clients, you know, need therapy.
It, okay. it, um,
And then the Renown actually provided that. And I finished my certificate last year with Light University. It's
okay.
Online.
Yep.
It's very informative. Love it. And it really helps. And it connects with the clients as okay. well. So
it gives you a little bit of a little bit greater insight into
right.
what they're experiencing as they go through that transition.
Sure.
You know, as a retired Army officer, the transition from waking up every day and putting on a uniform, and now all of a sudden I don't have to do that if I don't want to.
Right.
That was hard.
Sure.
But I can't even, that's not even in the same city block mm-hmm. as the transition from, it's got to be from the abortion industry.
Right.
Out of that. I mean, can you talk a little bit about some of that aspects of it?
Yeah. So, and I was also going to mention, if I can real quickly,
sure.
That, you know, when a client comes through and seeing them in that dark place, and watching them thrive, watching them grow, mm-hmm. and, you know, the client manager, us being able to be a part of it is so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
It warms my heart. That's probably the best part of being a client manager, of my job.
Sure.
Can't speak for all, but I'm sure that's everyone else's too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
just seeing them thrive and grow, and now we have a lot who speak publicly,
okay.
right? It's amazing. It's amazing to
yeah,
see them
yeah.
thrive and succeed.
And so you mentioned your continued journey. I would imagine that there's some healing, that you get a little bit of healing out
oh,
of
yeah.
some of this in your conversations with some of the other folks as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head on that one.
Yeah.
Anytime I see that, I'm like, oh, man, that helps me,
mm-hmm.
helping them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually in therapy myself. It's interesting because the therapist, well, any therapist will say that therapists need therapists too, right? So I am in therapy. I'll be the first to admit that, and
yeah.
I love it. So because then I can be more present, more available for my clients mm-hmm. emotionally and mentally, and that is very, very important.
Yeah.
I think one of the harder parts of the job is the emotional, mental part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really be stable in that area.
Yeah. And so it's another question that kind of just popped in my head here. So you talked about your journey in the faith. How has that helped you as your understanding of the faith and your faith itself has deepened and grown? How has that helped you work through this with your individual clients?
Yeah. It's just, I definitely see a shift.
Okay.
For sure. You know, and being around other faith-filled women,
mm-hmm.
it really has grown stronger. I'm able to, you know, provide that to my clients as well, because a lot of them will come in and they're looking, they have a void,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I no longer have that void because I've strengthened my relationship with Christ. So that kind of bounces off into my clients as well.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
And they can feed off of that. And you know, in fact, I have a client who started going to church. She's like, I've been going to church for a year now.
Wonderful.
And I love that,
wonderful.
Right? And it's not just Catholic. We have Protestants who come through. We have, we still have some who may be pro-choice too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very diverse, so.
Mm-hmm. For folks that are listening, that maybe they know somebody who's in the abortion industry, or they're in the industry themselves and they're looking for a way out, how do they get in touch with, not necessarily you, but with the organization
sure,
itself?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So if anyone wants to get out, or they need help, or they want to get involved, you can actually go to our website at prolove.com or abortionworker.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend that we're on all social media platforms.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow us on, yes, we're even on TikTok. I know not a lot of people are a big fan, but we are on there. We're on Facebook, Instagram. So yeah, you can follow us
there. You
know,
you talk TikTok and it goes back to what you were saying earlier about you got to meet people where they are.
You do.
And
you
we talk about that, you know, from an evangelization standpoint
sure.
too. You got to meet people where they are.
Yeah, yeah, so. Definitely.
Well, we've got just a couple more minutes here. And so I love asking this question. Tell us a little bit about Naissa that maybe only Chris knows about. A little bit, another peek behind the curtain.
Okay, so I love this question. It's actually kind of funny because I feel I'm an open book. I feel like everybody, or not everybody, I feel like I'm just out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a tough question because I'm an open book. A lot of people know everything about me. I don't think there's anything that people don't know. I mean, well, actually, there is one that just came to my mind. I have been homeless. I have been homeless with two kids. Wow. Not a lot of people know that. Very few people. So
that's tough.
That one did just come to my mind. So
that's tough. That was tough. Was that back in Colorado?
That was in Colorado. Okay. Yes. Okay. And I was pregnant. So that was when I was going through all of that craziness. But I will say the homelessness, it really humbled me and it really built character. So I have a soft spot for the homeless people.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's hopeful that homelessness doesn't have to be a permanent condition.
Right. And this just came to me, but you know, I could have, looking back now, I could have easily chose abortion in that situation with two kids, but I had a good support system, and that's another thing, having that good support system.
Yeah.
Leaning on Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the heart of, and then there were none.
Yep.
Naissa, thanks very much for taking some time out of your schedule and stopping by here. God bless you guys and everything you're doing, and we'll keep you in our prayers, you and the organization in our prayers. And
thank you so much, Tom. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.